continue our Million Little Miracle series, and we have been looking over. We got, I believe, two or three more weeks in this. How many more weeks are in October? This Sunday? Whatever. Through October, we're doing this. I've got it planned out on my calendar, and I can't remember where we are. But anyway, we've been looking at the miracles of Jesus, seeing how Jesus moves, seeing how Jesus operates, and that's really important for us because I believe that Jesus wants to move in our day, 2021, right here at Red Life Church, right here in Brookville, Indiana, amen? I believe that Jesus, just like he moved 2,000 years ago when he was on the earth physically, his Holy Spirit still wants to move in our lives today, amen, somebody? And so if I believe that Jesus wants to move, I need to see and learn and understand how Jesus moves and what happens when Jesus moves. And so we've been taking some time to intentionally look at how Jesus operated, how the Holy Spirit operates through him, and what's available to us today through looking at the miracles and the workings and some of the stuff that Jesus did. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 9, just a couple of verses, very short, almost, if you blink, you could almost miss this miracle, but there's so much power in what happens here that I believe the Lord wants to say today. Matthew chapter 9, verse 32, says, when they left, a demon-possessed man who couldn't speak was brought to Jesus. So Jesus cast out the demon, and then the man began to speak. The crowds were amazed. Nothing like this has ever happened in Israel, they exclaimed. I don't know about you, but I'm believing Jesus to move in such a powerful way that everybody stands around and says, man, we've never seen nothing like that before. Amen, somebody? How many believe that with me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your presence in this room, God, right now. And I pray, Holy Spirit, as we get into your word today, God, that you will allow through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, through the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place, cannot take place apart from you. Nothing we can do can take place apart from you. Lord, I pray today that miracle would happen, that God, where when we look at your word, that you will speak to our hearts purposely, individually, and intimately, God. That, Lord, we will not just hear my voice, certainly, but, Lord, I pray that we will all together hear your voice in Jesus' name. God, I pray you anoint this time, open our ears and our eyes to hear and to receive everything that you want from us this morning. In Jesus' name. Put your hand on your belly. Repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, if you're at home, join us with us. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear. So I can do what you want me to do and be everything you call me to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many parents in the room today? Raise your hand if you're a mom or a dad. All right. How many people think you might be a parent someday? Okay. Anyway, I don't know. I just want to make sure we're all included here. Listen, whether you're a parent or if you're not a parent, you may experience this. But if you're a parent, you will definitely relate to this, understand. Listen to me. How many remember that glorious moment in your home when you had kids and they couldn't talk? You know what I'm talking about? Like, and this is what I've noticed now. And I've got four kids, and I've got a senior in high school. She's sitting over here, and I'm not going to talk about you too much today, don't worry. And, well, maybe a little bit here, but anyway, I got a senior in high school, got a kindergartner. We didn't plan very well at all. But so we got a wide spectrum. And this is what I've realized, and I'm noticing this wave that happens through raising children, and it's this. When they're first born, they can't talk, and man, you can't wait for that first word. You know what I mean? And isn't it weird how you talk to babies? Like till they're 13, kids are basically just puppies. You know what I mean? Like you talk to them about the same. You know what I mean? Come on, boy. Hey, baby. Oh, boy. I said, we got a little puppy right now. I'm saying the same thing to him. You know, it really is amazing how much a small child and a pet are really handled just about the same way. You know what I mean? Baby talk. Who's a good boy? Who's a good girl? Come on. Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Who's hungry? Who wants a treat? You know what I mean? You're rubbing their nose and when they make a mess, just like you do a puppy. No? Okay. There's a moment before they talk and you're like, where's your first word? Come on, say dad. I say, and very often the first word is something like no or you know, whatever they say. But then there's this thing that happens where once they start to talk, oh my God, it's like you open up a floodgate and they won't shut up. You know what I mean? Anybody have a kid? I can talk about because you're not here. This is how Luca Maximus is. Luca is the biggest chatterbox. I mean, if you get this kid on something, this kid will not shut up. He has no respect for your time or what you got going on or what's in your mind. All he wants to do is tell you what's on his mind. And usually it's something to do with either Fortnite or Roblox or whatever toy he's just got. He just got this Dragon Ball Z toy. Doesn't even watch Dragon Ball Z. I don't know anything about it, but he's all about this. And I'm like, son, okay, yeah, that's awesome. Oh, man, it's like, I know, like, well, that's your son. You should really care what he said. Listen to me. There's only so much I can care about Roblox and Fortnite and Dragon Ball Z toys. You understand what I'm saying? Like, at what point am I like, son, you've told me I have given you all of the attention I can to Dragon Ball Z. I don't care anymore. And I know that that sounds harsh and that sounds mean, but you got to understand, this is after he has talked for 3.5 hours about nothing but the latest thing that he did in Fortnite. And here's the thing, it doesn't matter, I'm cooking dinner, he's following me to the bathroom, for God's sake. I mean, this is a real problem. He's like, and this is what I get all the time. I'll go, okay, son, hey, wait a minute, let me just finish this. And he's like, okay, but dad. And then he just goes on talking. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute, son, I'm in the bathroom, can you give me a moment? Yeah, okay, but dad, this thing, do you know that this can do this and that? And I'm like, wait a minute, son, I'm trying to cook dinner. Like, okay, yeah, that's great, but dad. But then there's this wave that happens where it's like, man, will you please shut up for just a minute? But then when they get to be about 13, I realize now you're begging them to talk again. You know what I mean? It's like this wave where they don't talk and you're like, man, please talk. And then they start talking, you're like, please shut up. And then they stop talking again and you're like, will you just say, like, you know, can we have any communication beyond a grunt? You know what I'm saying? So this guy comes to Jesus and he's mute. He's the King James would probably say he's dumb, which doesn't mean he's low intelligence. It means he cannot speak. And they bring this guy who cannot speak, who his mom and dad, for whatever reason, are probably begging him to say a word. He's not having this problem of, but dad. And this is what I think is kind of interesting about this miracle, is that Jesus, this is, we've been looking at a lot of these miracles that seem to take place in a really quick and short amount of time, because this takes place just a few days after Jesus calms the storm. In fact, this happens probably directly after Jesus has healed Jairus' daughter, who is an important religious leader of the time. And in the same story we read last week, where the woman with the issue of blood shows up, and Jesus heals this long-term illness and disease that this woman's been carrying around that makes her unclean, because, praise God, Jesus makes the unclean clean. Amen, somebody? And so this is all happening. And what we see here is that not only is Jesus ministering to the winds and the waves and big things that are happening, and not only is Jesus ministering to important people's family members who are suffering, like Jairus' daughter who is well-to-do and well-known, and not only is Jesus dealing with things that are, but this guy, we don't even get his name. We get no context about his life. He's just some guy that has no voice that comes to Jesus, and Jesus ministers to him too. Jesus ministers to everyone. It doesn't matter where you're from, what your issue is, whether you think it's big or small, whether everyone knows you or doesn't know you, Jesus wants to deal with your stuff. Amen, somebody? So this is just a no-name guy with no voice that shows up. And this is what's really important to understand from the get-go in this particular situation. Don't miss this. This is really important. We recognize right off the bat that though this man is suffering physically, it is discerned or it is known immediately somehow that this man's problem, even though it's showing up in the physical world, his root problem is a spiritual one. The Bible says that he is oppressed or possessed by a demonic spirit that has snatched the voice from his life. Okay? So he had a physical ailment, but the root cause was spiritual in nature. And the spiritual problem that he was facing, the manifestation of that was that he was dumb. He was mute. He couldn't speak. His voice had been silenced by a demonic spirit. And let me just say something real quick here. This is really important. I believe, and I think it doesn't take a lot of research or looking around to understand very quickly, this same spirit that silences this man's voice is absolutely running rampant in our world today. We are living in a culture, we are living in a time, we are living in an era where we are very quick to seek to silence every voice that doesn't fit our particular set of ideas or ideals or agendas. And it doesn't matter what your agenda is, we seem to all of a sudden have no room to listen to any other voice other than ones that parrot or back up what we already feel, already think, or already believe. And let me just say something, and I don't care what agenda you're pushing or what a set of ideas or ideologies, whether it is wrong or right or Christian or unchristian, let me just say this. I believe we can see this from Scripture because this is not the only time that a demonic spirit shows up and the manifestation of that spirit was to silence people. Let me just say this. I believe we can see from Scripture that, listen to me close, to silence people's voices is demonic. It is not godly to silence someone that I don't agree with. It is, in fact, ungodly. It is, in fact, the work of a demonic spirit. That is a demonic spirit. That is a tactic of Satan to simply silence someone that I don't agree with, that I don't like, or that is saying something that doesn't fit whatever ideology I'm trying to get along with. That is the work of Satan. Because what I see here is Jesus shows up and gives a voice to the voiceless. Jesus shows up and gives a word to someone who's not able to speak a word. Jesus gives a voice to those who don't have a voice. Jesus breaks the chains that cause us to be silenced. And if I'm trying to silence someone, that is not the work of God. You follow me so far? To silence people, listen to me. Well, I don't like what they're saying. They're saying things that are unchristian. They're saying things that are unbiblical. They're saying things that are anti-Christ. They're saying things that are anti-God. We must silence these voices. Let me tell you something, friend. Listen to me close. You don't overcome bad ideas by silencing the speaker. You overcome bad ideas by voicing better ones. Amen? Let me say it again. You don't overcome bad ideas. You don't overcome bad theology. You don't overcome anti-Christ rhetoric, and you don't overcome things that you don't agree. You don't overcome bad ideas by silencing them. You overcome bad ideas by voicing better ones. Amen, somebody? So if you got a problem with what somebody's saying, I tell you what, instead of trying to cancel them and silence them and deplatform them and take their right to speak away, which is apparently a God-given right, this is really important to Jesus. He stops everything he's doing to give voice to this voiceless, no-name person who's suffering from this demonic attack. If I want to challenge a bad idea, I need to speak and use my voice to give a better one. Amen, somebody? Jesus gives a voice to the voiceless. Now let me tell you something. You do not have to be possessed by a demonic spirit to be suffering from the same type of spirit that has sought to silence this man. Listen, fear can silence you. Doubt can silence you. Simple complacency can silence you. Come on, somebody. But Jesus never has intended, and listen, if you're a son or a daughter of God today, if you're part of the kingdom family of God, listen to me. Jesus wants you and I to exercise our voice to speak out his truth, to speak his word. Amen, somebody? And I don't mean getting on a Bible and getting on a soapbox or getting on a 5-gallon bucket in the corner, on the street corner somewhere with a megaphone and shouting at a bunch of people walking by. I mean giving voice to the word of God that's inside of you, speaking God's truth, speaking the word of God into your home, into your family, into your situation. Use the voice that Jesus has given you. Do not allow yourself to be silenced. Amen, somebody? Now, why would the enemy seek to silence your voice? Why would a spiritual attack come at you and come at me that would seek to silence you? Why would the enemy send fear or complacency or doubt or worry or whatever else, intimidation, to try and silence you? Here's why. The Bible says in Proverbs 18 and verse 21 that the power of life and death is in your tongue. The power to literally unlock life and death is in your tongue. Our words, the things that we say, have power. Now, you can either say amen or you can say oh me, depending on what you're using your tongue to do. But the reality is this, whether I, because the next sentence right after that says that those who love it will eat its fruit. Which means that I'm going to eat the fruit that my mouth sows seed with. Let me say it this way. My words are seed. Every word that I speak, it is a seed. It is going into the ground. Now, I don't know about you, but I have spent a significant time of my life in prayer saying, God, please don't let that seed sprout. Amen? Lord, spray some spiritual Roundup on the stuff I just said that allowed to come out of my mouth, because that was not godly. That was not you. Amen, somebody? Anybody else need the Holy Ghost to spray some Holy Ghost Roundup on some of the... I know I do. Because there's power in what I say. The power of life and death are in the tongue. Okay? The power of life and death are in the tongue. I remember I heard a preacher one time, and I can't even remember his name. Now, I've probably told this story so much, I think it's mine, but I know it's not. I heard a preacher tell this story one time. He said there was a tragic accident in a church, and the church asked him to pray. He was pastoring, and a young man was in a motorcycle accident and was on life support. And he said he began to pray, and he said instantly when he began to pray for this man to be healed, he felt the Holy, now this may sound strange, but he said he felt the Holy Spirit speak to him and say, switch your prayers. He's not going to make it. Let's pray for the family. And he was asking, Lord, what's going on here? And he said the answer he felt in his word, or in his spirit, the Lord said that the Lord told him, things have been unleashed in the heavens that will not be undone. And he thought, well, that's kind of weird. I never felt like the Lord told me that over a situation before. The boy passed away, going through the funeral, and as he was preparing for the funeral, talking to the family, talking about this boy, he learned that this guy, from the time he was a very young age, had always just said, for no real reason, just said, I'm not going to live to see 35, whatever the age was. I don't believe I'm going to live to be an old man. I'm going to die. I know I'm going to die. I'm going to die. Spent a lifetime saying that with his mouth. Listen, if I spend my life speaking death over myself, guess what? That fruit's going to bear fruit in my life. That's how powerful our tongue can be. Amen? But the same tongue, the same word, can also rectify the situation. And when I get a revelation and realize I need to change up the things that I'm allowed to come out of my mouth, I can then begin to speak life over myself. I can begin to say, you know what? I'm going to live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. I'm going to live in Jesus' name. You know, the Bible in the Old Testament, when people were living to be 900, 1,000 years old, 500 years old, there's a time in the Old Testament where in Genesis, the Lord said, I'm not going to contend with man's sinful nature forever. The Bible says that he cuts off the length of man's life on this earth to about 120 years, if you do the research on it. And I've just been believing, you know what? I want my 120. That's what I want from God. Amen. I'm believing for my 120 in Jesus' name. You understand what I'm saying? And I've been believing over my life, I'm going to be like Moses and Caleb. I'm going to be 120 years old and still climbing mountains, still conquering territory, still going to battle, still lifting heavy weights, still looking swole, looking good, and making things happen. That's the 120 years I want in Jesus' name. Amen. There's power in my words, amen? And let me say this. Not only is there power in your word, not only is there power in the words that we say, but don't miss this. As a child of God, as a son of God, as a daughter of the King, as kingdom believers and kingdom family, guess what? Not only is there power in our words, but friend, we don't have to go searching for the better word. We already have the better word inside of us. His name is Jesus. Amen. When ungodly ideas start to come into our midst, and when antichrist ideals begin to be perpetrated and those voices begin to rise up, we don't have to listen. We already have a better word on the inside of us. Jesus is the better word inside of you and I, friend. Amen, somebody? And we don't need to worry about trying to argue and debate and come up with all this stuff. Listen, we just need to speak the word of God because it already is a better word. We already have a better word. Amen? We already have a better word. Now, this is really, really important to understanding how God moves and how Jesus moves. We've got to get this. We've got to begin to ask God to help us be discerning in these matters when we're believing God and praying for something. We can't miss this. I'm going to say it this way to start this off. A spiritual problem requires a spiritual solution. Okay, you follow me? Say it one more time. A spiritual problem requires a spiritual solution. We need to understand that we are living in this earth. It's a physical realm, correct? Right? In this body that I live in these things that we can taste and touch and see and feel, this is the physical realm. We are living in a physical realm. However, we are we were first created by God in the book of Genesis, not as physical beings, but as spiritual beings. Does that make sense? So we need to understand this, and this comes back into correction. Jesus corrects this when the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence and we give our lives and surrender to Jesus. But listen, I am not a physical person seeking to get spiritual enlightenment somewhere. I am first a spirit who lives inside of a physical body. Does that make sense? Because the life of God lives on the inside of me. Does that make sense? You follow me so far? So we are spiritual people living in a physical world. Okay, but the spiritual realm that exists just beyond the one that we can taste, touch, see, and feel certainly can and does affect the physical one that we live here, that we're living in here. Does that make sense? There are some times that a physical problem is just a physical problem. Okay, amen. Listen, I've been in church my whole life, and I have seen some weird things, and I've seen some just things that have. And let me tell you where a lot of times the devil gets blame is in the sound team and the media team and the soundboard. Now, I have seen probably on two occasions moments where I knew and it was obvious that there really was a spiritual thing happening because there was no explanation for what was going on. I'll show you this one time. We were in this service. It was a revival type atmosphere and God was moving. There's a lot of crazy things happening. People were getting healed and touched, and I mean, like literally, demonic spirits were manifesting, and it was wild. and there was this ring. There was a feedback ringing that kept going on in the sound system. It was real distracting, and we were trying everything we could. And I literally watched myself and the other sound guys. We turned I watched with my own eyeballs. I saw the power go out. There was no power, and there was still a ringing happening. That might be a little weird. That might be a spiritual attack. You follow me? But I've also seen plenty of times where the devil got blamed for the sound system that just needed upgraded. Okay, it's been the same sound system since 1963, and it was all duct taped and band-aided together, and it was just time to get something upgraded and make something happen. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, and probably like 99% of the time, that's the problem. So there are physical problems that take place. You know, every time you spill a glass of water, that wasn't the devil that did that. That was just you being a fool and being clumsy, okay? You understand what I'm saying? Even though it feels like the devil is attacking me. I hate spilling stuff, and I spill stuff all the time. Probably one of the things that gets me the maddest of anything that I do, that I just want to look at myself and punch myself in the face like, you idiot. 40 years old, you should be able to drink a glass of milk without worrying about it. And I recognize that's probably not the devil. That's just me. I've got these sausage fingers, and I don't know. I can't grip the glass very well. It's just what it is. It's a physical problem. It has no spiritual nature in it at all. It's not a demonic attack. But there are physical things that manifest in our physical world that are spiritual in nature. And I said all that. I know I took a little time there and have some fun, but I said all that to say there are times that we might recognize and we might need to understand and we might need to discern through the Holy Spirit that what's happening physically doesn't have a physical root. It has a spiritual root. And if I recognize and discern that my problem and what's manifesting may be manifesting physically, but it's actually spiritual in nature, then what I need to do is understand that a spiritual problem will require a spiritual solution. And what is the spiritual solution? Jesus gives it to us, and this happens over and over again in his ministry. Listen to me. When I recognize that there is a spiritual problem that needs to be dealt with, listen to me close. The only way to deal with the spiritual attack coming against me is to cast that demonic attack and cast that spirit out. Listen to me very close. When there is a spiritual attack, a spiritual force attacking your life, attacking your home, attacking your marriage, listen to me. Every evil probably has its root in demonic activity somewhere along the way. But let's just be honest. Like, it's every time. There may be some spiritual problems going on in my marriage, but it also could be some basic things that I need to do, and I need to own that. Like, I may not be having problems in my marriage because the devil's attacking me. I may be having problems in my marriage because I'm being a selfish jerk, and I need to deal with that. You understand what I'm saying? And if I spend all my time rebuking the devil and casting out the devil and nothing ever changes, then I might need to start going, maybe there's another problem here. Amen? I had a teacher in Bible college one time that said, if you rebuke the devil and the devil doesn't buke, you got a different problem. Because here's the thing, you say, well, what do you mean cast out the devil? Well, this is what that means in the Greek there. It just simply means to eject him. You say, well, man, I don't know. I'm not like a super holy person. Listen to me. Stop all that right now. You have the power of God inside of you. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in you, and Jesus himself has given his sons and daughters permission and authority over all manner of sickness, disease, and evil spirits. Every evil spirit that you will ever encounter in life, we have authority over that in Jesus' name, okay? And let me say this, and this is where I want to get to here. When I recognize that I have a spiritual demonic attack from hell coming against my life, I cannot counsel it out. I cannot reason it out. I cannot patience it out. I cannot love it out. I cannot argue it out. The only way to deal with a spiritual attack is to cast it out in Jesus' name. Now, I can have counseling and loving and patience. That may all need to take place once I've cast the spirit out to deal with the aftermath of that trauma and the havoc that's been wreaked on my life. But when I am coming against a spiritual attack that has its root cause from hell that's coming against my life, that is not the time to counsel. That is not the time to debate. That is not the time to argue. We just simply rebuke that and cast it out in Jesus' name. And let me help you real quick. You have the authority in Christ to do that over every spiritual attack that comes against your life in Jesus' name. Jesus has given us his name by which to do that type of business on the earth, that type of kingdom business. Amen, somebody? And in the name of Jesus, I rebuke and cast out every single foul spirit from hell that is seeking to silence the word of God and the truth of God that he wants to use your voice to give voice to in the earth today in Jesus' name. Silenced no more. Amen, somebody? You cast it out. Now, there are two reactions to this miracle. The first one we read, the Bible says, he cast out this spirit, and the man begins to speak. The crowd says, they're amazed. We have never seen anything like this before. Now, the verse after that, you don't have to read. You can read it later. I'm not going to read it to you verbatim. But the verse after that says that the religious leaders who were also standing around, the Bible says they scoffed and they said, he's casting out demons because he's possessed by a demon himself. This is actually the first time this happens. Later on, a few chapters later, a very similar situation. It's a different situation, but a very similar situation happens. And the Bible says that Jesus finally confronts the Pharisees and says, a house divided against itself can't stand. The devil is not going to fight the devil. Demonic activity doesn't fight against demonic activity. That doesn't make any sense at all if I'm truly possessed by a demon and that's how I'm doing this. The crowd was amazed. Religious people and religious leaders scoffed and accused him of being possessed by the devil. And this is one thing I want to say here real quick. Listen, when God works in your life, when we begin to see Jesus move, and we are seeing Jesus move, and we begin to see Jesus move, and I believe over the next couple of days as we press in and see God, we're going to see some wild stuff happen. There's going to be healings that take place. Your life's going to be restored. There's going to be fire burn up inside of your soul. And listen to me close. When you come across someone that scoffs at that and says, nah, that's nothing, or ah, that's just hype, or ah, that's just whatever, listen to me close, friend. When God moves in your life, everybody's not going to understand it. Everybody's not going to be as in awe. Let me just burst your bubble. Everyone is not going to be as happy for you receiving a move of the Holy Spirit in your life as you are. Some people are going to question it. Some people are going to doubt it. Some people are going to scoff at it. Some people are going to say, oh, that's just a cult. Oh, that's just hype. Oh, that's not really God. Oh, that's the devil's work. Oh, that's this. Oh, that's that. Listen to me. Don't miss this. Don't let the scoff of religion silence the voice that Jesus has given you. When you begin to speak God's word, when you begin to say this is what God has done, when you begin to tell somebody about Jesus and they scoff and go, oh, that's not really real. Oh, that's fake. Oh, that's this. Oh, that's that. Don't you for a second allow the scoff of religion to dull the wonder that you're experiencing in the presence of God. Don't let the scoff of religion silence the voice that Jesus has set free inside of you. Amen? Now, why were they scoffing? Why were they scoffing? Why were they defensive? This is a good question to ask, and I'm going to tell you exactly why. It wasn't because they were unused to seeing demonic activity. In fact, as Jewish leaders, they actually believed in demonic activity, and there was a whole subset of Jewish leaders and customs and traditions to deal with people that were literally possessed or experiencing demonic attack. In their tradition, a Jewish person, a Jewish leader, a scribe, a rabbi, a Pharisee, whatever, who was seeking to exorcise a demon, would get into these long, lengthy debates with the person possessed by the demon. And what they were trying to do is they were trying to eventually get the demon spirit to give them their name. You see, this happened with Jesus. When he cast the devil out of the guy in the graveyard, and it goes into the pigs. You know what I'm talking about? The Bible says the demonic spirit. When Jesus shows up and casts out and begins to minister, what did the demon answer? It says, "Our name is Legion." But if you notice in the story, Jesus never asked him that. That information just came on his own, because Jesus isn't interested in debating or arguing or talking to demons. He's interested in casting them out and setting the captives free. Come on, somebody. So if this triggers some kind of weird curiosity in you, listen, I'm just telling you right now, if you go on YouTube later today and if you go on a deep dive, if this interests you at all, and you start, if you do demonic exorcism, you're going to find all kinds of whacked out, crazy nonsense that people do when they're trying to bring freedom to someone. And a lot of it is based in this old school, Old Testament Jewish tradition of talking to demons and tell us what your name is. And all that. Listen, you never see Jesus doing that. Jesus just says, get out of here. And that's it. Amen, somebody? I don't care what a demonic spirit's name is. I just want you gone. Amen, somebody? I'm not going to argue with no demon. Out you go. Amen? You guys are quiet. Is this freaking you out today or what? Are you just... So in the Jewish custom, you had to have this debate, you had to have this conversation with the demon, you had to get this demon to manifest in the guy, and you were basically seeking, here's what they thought, once we know his name, then we can call out the demon's name and tell him to go and all this. But this demon had closed this guy's mouth. So in this situation, in this custom and in this culture, this man, his case is hopeless. Because to the Jewish leader who's familiar with this type of demonic activity, if they cannot get a name from this guy, from this demon, there's nothing they can do. So the reason the Jewish leaders saw this and they're like, oh, well, that's just man. They got defensive, is because Jesus shows up and gives hope to a case that the religion said was hopeless. Jesus shows up and brings life to someone that everybody else said there was nothing that anyone could do. This man's case was completely hopeless until Jesus showed up. Amen, somebody. And the reason the crowd was so amazed and the reason the crowd went crazy is because Jesus did something that no religious leader of the day, no religious scholar of the day, no preacher of the day was able to do. And that's why their minds were blown. Why? Because Jesus gives the hopeless hope. Jesus gives the voiceless a voice. Jesus can deal with every spiritual situation that you think is lost and you think is gone and you think is hopeless. Every spiritual situation that's got you pulling your hair out and thinking, man, there's no answer. There's no way. Jesus is that answer. Jesus is that voice. Jesus can deal with that problem. Amen, somebody. In Jesus and through Jesus, every hopeless case has hope. Come on, Caleb. And now listen. Jesus is the only place to find real spiritual solutions. Okay? Jesus is the only place to find a real answer to the spiritual problem in your life. Listen to me, friend. You don't need another guru. You don't need another motivational speaker. You don't need another inspirational TikTok account. Okay? You need Jesus. Stand in the elevator's place this morning. Can we just bow our heads for a moment, close our eyes. Let's just take a moment and let's just allow the Holy Spirit to take an inventory in our heart and our souls. Man, if you're in this place today and you feel hopeless, if you're in this place today and you feel lost, if you're in this place today and, man, maybe you've went through some other areas, you've tried some other stuff, maybe some good stuff, maybe some bad stuff, maybe some stuff that's healthy, maybe some stuff that's unhealthy, and you've realized, man, there is no other answer, there is no other fix, there is no other thing, and you're still empty, and you're still having issues, and you're still feeling lost and empty, I want you to know something, friend. Jesus is what you need. Jesus is the hope that you're searching for. And right now today, you can experience, you can know, you can welcome Jesus into your life, into your heart. And the Holy Spirit will fill every ounce of your life. You're not going to have it all figured out. You're not going to get it all together. Listen, if you left a sink full of dirty dishes at home when you came here today, there's still going to be a sink full of dirty dishes in your house. I hate to tell you. But you'll have a friend right there scrubbing them out with you today. You'll have a hope inside of you as you get it done, as you deal with it, as you work through it, as you fix it. And you can find that only in Jesus. Right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I don't care how long you've been coming to this church. I don't care if you've been in church your whole life. I don't care if you've even prayed this prayer before, man, or maybe you never have. Maybe this is the first time in a long time you've been in a moment like this. Maybe you're online somewhere right now. Maybe you're just listening in as your husband or wife or son or daughter is worshiping and having their time with God today, and you're in the background and you're hearing this. I want you to know it's not an accident. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And if there's a sense in you saying, man, I need to come back to Jesus. I need to know this Jesus. You're talking about this hope. You're talking about this solution. You're talking about, man, there's something inside of you saying, man, I know that's what I need. I know that's the answer I'm searching for today, friend. That is not an accident. That's not happenstance. That is the Holy Spirit right now reaching down from heaven, knocking on the door of your heart. And the Bible says in Revelation that Jesus stands at the door of your heart and knocks. But he's not going to kick the door in. He's going to knock and allow you and wait for you to open it. And today you can open that door. You can open that door simply by saying yes, yes to Jesus. Yes, I'm going to become a follower of Jesus. Yes, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. Well, you say, well, I got a bunch of questions, man. Well, listen, I can't answer them all. We do have a resource available for you at redlifechurch.com right in the middle of the page. It says you're saying yes to Jesus. There's a 10-minute video that will walk you through this step-by-step process, and I can't encourage you enough to do it. But don't wait till you watch the video. If you got the Lord speaking to your heart right now, say yes right now. We'll figure out the questions later. We'll answer the questions later. You need to respond right now to what the Holy Spirit is doing inside of your heart, to him knocking on the door of your heart. And why is that important right now? Because the Bible simply says that tomorrow is promised to no man. There is no guarantee. There is no guarantee that when I close my eyes tonight, I'm going to open them back up. None. I have right now. I have this moment. And in this moment, if you sense the Lord knocking, you say, well, I don't even know. Listen, if your palms are sweaty, you're nervous, you're shaking, you think this is some kind of trick, I promise this is no trick. And I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to put you on the spot. I am in a moment going to ask you to raise your hand. That's the only public sign I'm going to do, because there needs to be some sort of response. But that can be enough. I believe that. Don't wait. Jesus is here right now. Jesus is speaking to you right now. Jesus is inviting you right now. And it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how far away from him you are. It doesn't matter how many sins you've committed. It doesn't matter how unclean you feel. It doesn't matter how much baggage you've got. Man, we could go around this room all day and every single one of us would talk about baggage that we brought to the Lord and he took care of. Baggage that I'm still allowing myself to pick up sometimes, and Jesus, by his grace, is still dealing with me. Don't miss this moment. You want to say yes to Jesus right now? You can respond to the comments online, and you can just respond right now in this room by raising your hand. If that's where you say, yes, I need to say yes to Jesus. Yes, I need to come back to Jesus. Or yes, I want to come to him for the first time. We just right now raise your hand. Right now raise your hand all over this room. Amen. 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 Thank you. I want everyone in this room, if you're watching at home online, I want you to, everyone that's with us in this moment, I want you to pray this prayer with me out loud so you can hear it with your own ears. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned. But I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and that you did it all just for me. And I ask you right now to forgive me of my sin. Come and live on the inside of me. Save me. Make me yours. Thank you for doing that for me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, church. Can we rejoice right now for a moment? Come on. Can we just welcome? Come on, right now. Just join the party. There's a party in heaven. The Bible says every time, anytime just one lost sheep comes home, there's several hands that were raised in this room today, and there may be even more online that we don't even know about yet. The Bible says that heaven rejoices, and we rejoice with heaven. We rejoice with you this morning. If you got questions, you need prayer, man, we're here for you. We're available online 24/7. I promise, that's not just something we say. I promise you, if you respond to any of that, you will get an answer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the voice that you are letting loose in this hour and in this generation and in this moment in this community. God, thank you for the voice that you are letting loose through Redemption Life Church, through this kingdom assignment. Lord, I thank you for the voice that you are raising up and that you are setting free on the inside of every son and daughter of God. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that God, we will cast out, cast off, and not be shamed into silence, not for one moment. But God, I pray that we will speak your love, speak your truth, speak your grace, and speak the word of your kingdom in every aspect and area of our life. We cast out every demonic influence seeking to silence your kingdom and your people in Jesus' name. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you will continue to raise us up with your mighty voice in this time and in this hour in Jesus' name. If you believe that, say amen. Stretch your hands this way. Receive this blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. And the Lord give you peace in Jesus' name.